Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you guys so much for having me out today. I was thinking about being here in 2012 and kind of where MSNY New Jersey was and how far you guys have come. And Dottie, you remember, and Chino. So, man, it's just a testament to how faithful you guys are, and I'm grateful for it. It's amazing to have this big building. I remember you guys were in that little basement space now renting it. Now you got your own place, and God is good. So congratulations, guys. This is great, and it's an honor to be here today. For those that don't know me, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, grew up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, went to the University of Maine, played 4 years there, and then I played in 2007 or 2012, I got an opportunity to play with the New York Jets, which I'm not embarrassed to talk about in front of this crowd. Normally I'm speaking up in New England and everybody boos me when I say that, so it's nice to be able to come down here and say that. So played 6 years there and then 3 years with the Kansas City Chiefs. And so this past offseason, I retired. If I would have come here 2 months ago, you would have had a current NFL player, but now you have a retired former NFL player, so it's instantly not as cool, so I apologize. I have an incredible, incredible family. I just had, 2 years ago, we had my first son, Rocco, and I've probably learned more about God from my relationships and my family, you know, outside the scriptures than anything else. This little guy, I love him so much, and just wherever he is, I want to be where he is. And so the other day, my wife calls me from upstairs. She says, "Hey, honey, your son has a gift for you." And I couldn't be more excited to get down and see what he had. So I go running downstairs. I'm like, "Son, what do you have? What do you got?" And he goes, "Dad, look, it's a booger." And I'm like, "For me? Like, that booger's for me?" I couldn't have been more excited to get a booger. And how many times do I go before God and think, "God, look what I got. Look at this booger," you know, and how much he still loves us. My wife, Jessie, I love her so much, and I've understand kind of hearing the voice of God. I've really learned that from cultivating my relationship with my wife. I played in Arrowhead Stadium for 3 years, the loudest stadium in the world. And man, even outside the stadium, when we would get done with the games, that stadium was still cranking. You'd still have 4,000 or 5,000 people out there yelling and screaming and getting after it. And so I'd leave the stadium after the game and go to try to find my wife. And in that whole crowd of 5,000 people, she could just say, "Hey, babe." And I would know exactly who it was and exactly where she was at. And so the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so how loud does life get sometimes, right? But the more we stay in that word, the more accustomed we become to God's voice. And so when things get crazy in life, we can hear his voice over the storm. And then my little dog, Charlie. So most guys, you know, I see a big 300-pound guy, defensive lineman, you think I'm going to have some pit bull or Rottweiler. I'm a dog guy. But I have this little 9-pound Shih Tzu Yorkie dog. Like, not something that I show to my buddies, you know. It was funny. I was out in Kansas City, and I'm walking him around the complex, and I hear somebody say, "Hey, babe, look, there's that huge guy walking that little dog again." You know, like... But I've understood kind of God's perspective and my perspective from my relationship with my dog. So check this out. So one day I went out to Subway and bought my wife a sandwich, and she likes with different veggies, and so I had them loaded up with onions. So I bring the sandwich home, I leave it on the counter. This stupid dog climbs up on the counter, unwraps this sandwich, and eats half of it. And now the thing is full of onions, and so I didn't know this, but I guess dogs can't eat onions. That's a bad deal. And so we have to grab this dog, take it to the vet. The vet gives it, you know, the stuff to make it puke. It's throwing up. It's looking at us shaking, you know, crying. Like, "What are you guys doing this to me for?" We get home. The stupid dog runs in, digs under the pillow. I see him scratching on the pillow. He had buried the other half of the sandwich. He goes back to get the sandwich. Like, don't you know just what you just went through? But it was so funny, but if we don't do this to this dog is gonna die, right? And this was such a, you know, this dog's looking at us like, "You're torturing us. Like, why are you doing this?" And it gave me such a better perspective of how God looks at the adversity and the things that we're going through. Sometimes we go through life and we might be like, "Lord, what's going on? What are you doing?" And, you know, when I think about it, it gives me so much hope to know he's in charge. You know, and I might be going through something and I might not understand why I'm going through it, but to know that his perspective is so much better than mine. And so that's my family. I just wanted to talk to you guys today. Kind of my goal of this, and I'll be quick, is to kind of encourage you guys and to help you, to empower you guys to understand the influence we have in this culture today. Because when you look around at society today, it is falling apart. You know, it's falling apart. And I mean, not even just the global stuff with the stuff overseas and things going on, but you guys know, I mean, I don't have to bring up the points, but you guys can just see people are confused. People are confused. And it comes down to that three-letter word, you know, that almost become a swear word, and that's sin. And people are just, they're lost. They don't have any kind of direction. And so that's really what sin is. Sin comes from this archery term. I know Adam's hit this before, called hamartia, and it was a archery term back in the day. And so the archer would draw back his bow and shoot, and if the arrow missed the mark of the bullseye, they would yell hamartia. You missed the mark. You missed the point. And so that's what sin is. Sin is whenever we miss the mark. And so whenever we, another way to put it is that whenever we act outside of the creative purpose that God has for us. And so think about it like this. You think about a monster truck. I'm from Maine, so everybody in Maine has huge trucks. We deal with that climate up there. There's snow and rocks and off-roading and all this stuff. So everybody has these tremendous vehicles. And so the designer of that truck had a certain terrain in mind, right? He had off-road terrain, snow, and things like that, and that truck's built like that. Now, the designer of a Corvette had a totally different terrain in mind for that Corvette, right? Speed, it's sleek, it can move fast. You know, you're going racing down the highway in that Corvette. But you're not going to take that Corvette and put it in the terrain of a monster truck, right? The second you take that Corvette out of its design purpose and put it in to the purpose of a monster truck, you're going to experience damage. And that's what sin is. We look around at people's lives and the things going on in this world today, and there's so much damage. And it's because God's created the different spheres of our lives with a certain purpose, our marriages, our finances, our relationships. And whenever those purposes act outside of the creative purpose that God has for us, we experience damage. And so I think about it from football. 70 to 75% of NFL players are broken, divorced within 3 years of retiring from the NFL. I mean, that's an incredible, incredible statistic. And so it doesn't matter where you're at in life, the top or the bottom, these kind of things, you know, being able to understand the plan that God has for us and order our lives correctly is incredibly important. And so our influence is key, because we influence people towards Christ, not just to save them, and that's the most important thing, right, is being on the correct side of eternity, but to teach them how to order their lives correctly so that they're living this life out the way God intended. And so I have a couple points today, and we'll see how far we get. But I think the first key point for us when it comes to better influencing the world around us is we got to understand the power of our example. 2 Corinthians 3:2, it says, "You yourself are a letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all." So our lives are an example to others. Our lives, whether good or bad, are going to tell others what Christ is about. I remember coming from a small school in high school and then going to a smaller college at the University of Maine. I never had my name on the back of a jersey, right? And so I get an opportunity in 2007 to play for the Jets. And this was an incredible opportunity because I had grown up a Jets fan. And not only a Jets fan, but a Jets fan in New England, which was terrible. So I finally got to, you know, got around to the first preseason game. I remember walking into the locker room and seeing my jersey and seeing my name on the back of a Jets jersey for the first time, you know. So not only was I name on a jersey, but it was on a Jets jersey. And now I'm running out in front of that crowd. All my family and friends are there with that name, DeVito, on the back. And I'm representing them. When we give our lives to Christ, we're putting on that jersey that has Jesus on the back. And so everybody's looking at us, say, okay, he's a Christian, what kind of example is he setting? When I was with the Jets, we had a therapist, kind of sports therapist, that's become a big part of the game. And she actually just got hired by the Navy SEALs. She's out in Coronado training the Navy SEALs. She's incredibly good. And so I keep in touch with her. And as she's going out there, I'm a big Navy SEAL fan. I read all the books and watch the movies, and I just love it. And so as she's going out there, getting ready to go and meet with the SEALs and train with them and teach them, she said, you know, I said, wait until you meet them, Sarah. They're incredible. They're just the way they do life. These people are incredible. And she said, you know, Mike, I bet you they're just like you guys, just like NFL players. I've been working with NFL players. I've been working with pro basketball players. I bet you they're just like you guys, just with a different purpose. She called me 2 days later from being there, and she said, you know what, Mike? You are 100% right. These guys are a lot better than you guys. She's, there is something different about these guys. For us as Christians, that's what people need to see. They need to see us and say, man, there is something different about them. Him and her, there's something different about them. I think that the key to this came to me in John 17. I told you I'm a dog guy, right? And so think about, well, let me talk about the scripture first. Jesus says in John 17, we always hear people say, well, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But to put that in context, John 17, praying to God, says, Lord, don't take them out of the world, right? Talking about his apostles and his disciples. Said, put them in the world. Put them right in the middle of the world. He says, but do something different to them. Empower them. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. So now getting back to my little dog, I don't know if anybody's had dogs, but one of the worst things that can happen with dogs is for them to get fleas, right? And so you put this flea collar on it, and I never really understood how a flea collar worked until somebody broke it down for me. And I guess what happens is you put this collar on the dog and it releases poison into the dog's bloodstream. And so when the fleas go to bite the dog, they die. So now you don't have to deal with fleas. And so this is the same kind of idea. We need to be so sanctified in God's truth that when we go and we're put into the world, when it can't affect us, but we can't help but affect the world. So we're so sanctified by God's word, so changed and empowered, that our example and our words and our testimony can only affect the people around us. The second point, we got to understand the purpose of the church. I think that over time the church has become just something fun that we do on Sundays, and it's kind of a social gathering, and we come here and we enjoy the fellowship and we sing some nice songs and we hear a good message and then we go out and do our day. And I want to kind of speak against this dualistic thinking where it's well, the church and my spiritual life is for Sundays and then I do my regular thing Monday through Saturday. Look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says, talking about Jesus, and he said he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Talking about Jesus here, he's saying Jesus gave us the apostles, the prophets, the disciples to train us. So the purpose of the church, the purpose of coming here on Sundays is to train us up, to get us ready to go out and to engage the world around us. And we all have different spheres of influence, right? So for me, for the past 18 years, it's been sports. You guys, there are teachers here, lawyers, more athletes. I mean, there's different spheres of influence, government, politics, things like that, all different platforms that we all have. And so the purpose of the church is to come here and get trained up and empowered to go out and affect those different areas of culture. And it's funny because I say this, but then when I actually go to apply it, it's a totally different thing. I remember a couple of years ago, Adam asked me to go down to University of North Carolina to do an Athletes in Action event. And so I was thinking about what I was going to say to them, and I was like, you know what? What an awesome opportunity. These kids are in college. You know, they're in a place where everybody's trying to form a worldview, you know, form an understanding, and they're going to go back out into the world and bring whatever they've learned in college with them. And so it's like a one-stop shop for the Great Commission, you know? You don't have to go to Africa to minister to somebody from Africa who's going to go back to Africa. And so I went there and I was thinking, okay, this is going to be my message. And now the morning before I was supposed to talk, I met with some of the students that are part of this AIA group, and they said, okay, we're going to go on campus and just evangelize. Come with us. I was like, okay. So we go on campus and they say, okay, here's what we do. We just go up to people and start telling them about Jesus. I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, there's not a group or something that we, they're like, no, you just go walk up and start talking to them, say, hey, you want to know about Jesus? Can I pray for you? Can I talk to you? And I remember thinking, I'm not doing that. Like, that's crazy. Now, here I am, and a couple hours from now, I'm going to tell these kids to go and do that. But then the second it's time for me to do it, it's a totally different deal. You know, so I'm working on it the same way. It's something we got to constantly remind ourselves, okay, this is my purpose. You know, I might feel awkward. I might not understand everything that's going on. But I got to get out there and be motivated to understand, okay, I'm coming to church to learn, to go out there to bring this information to others. And so I think the key to this is to understand that the church is here to train us. When I was out in Kansas City this past off season for the bye week, I went to the National Guard base in Kansas. And the guys had this projection screen that came down, and attached to it were these M4 rifles. There were four or five of them that were across, and they would run this simulation on the screen. And here was the idea. They would take you through this Middle Eastern town or whatever, and they'd put you through different scenarios. And so you'd come up to somebody, and you'd have you'd have your gun ready, and you'd be engaged with a person, and this person would start talking to you, and then they would start getting fired up and yelling at you, and then you'd have to make a decision whether, okay, is this person a threat, or is this person just, you know, is this person just getting mad, and when to shoot and when not to shoot. And so as I'm going through, I'm engaging each target, and you know, I'll come up to one person and they'll start yelling at me, and they'll go into their pocket and then they'll just pull out a cell phone or something. You know, and I was getting ready to shoot and then I didn't shoot. And so four or five simulations we go through and nothing happens. And so finally we get to the last one. I think, okay, this is the one. Something's got to be going on here where I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to have to shoot somebody. And so I'm looking at these two people. It's a man and a woman, and they're arguing. They're going after it. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, here we go. And so the guy's looking at me and he starts yelling at me, and he's arguing with the lady and then yelling at me. And then all of a sudden he pushes the lady over, pulls out a knife and starts charging at me. So I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to let it. So I just let that M4 off. I mean, I was, you know, like Rambo. And then the simulation stops, and the guy, the sergeant that was running it said, you died. I said, there's no way. I shot that guy like 20 yards away. There was no way he got to me. And he said, look at the simulation again. And when he pushed the lady over, it was a setup. She pulled out a gun, and as she was going down, she shot me. And so it was a total setup. And I said, how do you guys do this? Like, how do you know when that's happening? And he said, we train like crazy. He's like, all we do is train, because we have to be ready for every scenario. It's like, man, that's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to come in here and train and get ready for every scenario that the world's going to throw at us, so that we can better go out there and influence society. And then the third thing, and I'll finish with this. We have to recognize and understand the power of our words. Our words are so powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I can think back to how many times words changed my life. The first time, the one that really sticks out in my head, there were five words. The plane is going down. I was going to Cancun my sophomore year in college with a few buddies of mine. And so we went to Cancun. We were there for a week. We got back on the plane, and my one buddy was terrified to fly, you know, super afraid to fly. Prior to this, I had no issues flying. And so we're flying back, and I had fallen asleep with my other buddy. And so the plane is getting ready to land, and so it's descending, and it's really rough. The turbulence is really rough. And so, but I'm sleeping and passed out, and my buddy had a panic attack. And he started yelling, the plane is going down. And I woke up from a nap to a turbulent plane and him yelling, the plane is going down. So for a minute, I really thought the plane was going down. I tell you, there's never been a time in life I could feel my heartbeat coming out of my chest. And ever since then, I've been terrified to fly. Those five words changed my life. Every time I get on a plane, I am sweating because I am so afraid. Our words are so powerful, guys. And the key to it is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So again, it goes back to, the more word we put in, the more we're sanctified by God's truth, the more we stay in the word, the more those words are going to be coming out. And so when we engage in with people, the more powerful our words will be. There was another time five words changed my life. They said, your friend Mark is dead. I remember being in college, there was this guy I really looked up to. He was a football player on the team. And I mean, this guy fit the bill. 6'5", 300 pounds, mohawk, tatted up. I mean, this guy was awesome. And I looked up to him. I mean, I really looked up to him as a player. And I was like, man, that's what I want to be. I just want to be a big, nasty football player. And so he got messing around with the wrong people, living life crazy. And he actually got shot and killed at 24 years old. One of my friends at the time had told me that he had passed away and he had gotten shot. And I remember making my way up to his casket and looking down and seeing a 24-year-old kid dead and thinking, man, it was the first time I felt that Acts 2 kind of Holy Ghost cut to the heart. Like, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because tomorrow isn't guaranteed. And so going through that process made me realize, man, it can be over in a flash. It can be over in a second. And so what is up with eternity? What is next? What is this all about? And my friend at the time, who had seen me searching and seen me going through this, took me under his wing, took me to the church, got baptized a couple weeks later, gave my life to Christ. And now from that point on, this was my junior year in college, my life took a totally different trajectory, you know, all because of those five words and going through that process. And so our words are so powerful, and we can lead people to Christ and set an example and change people's lives for Christ, or, you know, we can do it the wrong way and not recognize the importance of our example and how our influence is and lead people away from Christ. So let me go ahead and finish with prayer here. So let me go ahead and pray, and I just thank you guys so much for today. So Lord, we love you, we praise you. You are awesome, God. It was such a great opportunity to be here this morning, to be in the house of God, and we thank you for all the work you're doing in our lives. And I just pray for those out there that know you, Lord, that you would continue to speak and minister their hearts to recognize what a vital time this is and how important it is for us to come together, to learn, to train, to set the example, Lord, to go out into this world and to evangelize others. And Lord, for those that don't know you, I pray you open their hearts and their minds to think about what's next, to think about eternity, Lord, to think about that no matter what happens in this life after death, there is forever. And Lord, that you would continue to stir and move on their hearts, Lord, to recognize the importance of the gospel and of what your Son did for us, and having faith, Lord, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I thank you so much again for this opportunity today. We love you, Lord. I pray this wouldn't be just information, but transformation, Lord, and just speak to our hearts and continue to change us from the inside out. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.